Blog Talk Radio.
Goodness, good morning. This is Melissa Enigie-Berry with Talk with Trinity, a show that is dedicated to the education, enrichment, and enlightenment of all people. My name is Melissa Enigie-Berry. The show is also sponsored by Trinity Counseling Services, Burlington and Charlotte, 508 Holly Hill Lane, Suite 102E, Burlington, North Carolina, 72215. In Charlotte, 1801 North Tryon Street, 311B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28206. My name is Melissa. I just want to thank God just for allowing us to be here this morning. Thanking God for waking me up. Thanking God for just everything that He is doing in my life. Thanking God for my family. Thanking God for my friends. And thanking God for every experience that happens. Thanking God for safe travels. Thank God for keeping me through the night and just through up to now. So let's see this morning's topics. Don't really have a lot. I wrote that we were going to be looking at Ephesians 6. That's a pretty good topic. Always sharing that. I was thinking to myself, I was like, I got my war clothes on this morning. I was going to wear my black boots and with the saying next to my mind that, you know, this is going to be the day that I'm going to put on the whole armor of God so that I can withstand the wiles of the devil. And when you are at war, there are some things that is necessary to do in order to fight. There are a few things that you need to know. And when you look at Ephesians 6:10, we can read from that. And it says, finally, and I'm reading from the New International Version. I ordinarily read from the King James Version. If you have your Bibles, if you have a concordance, if you have your phones, make sure that when you pick, you can pick. And it's good to know the original scripture. It's good to have that, the original scripture, which is King James Version. It's one. And most times you read, but when you read New International Version and some of the other versions that speak a little more plainly for better understanding, with Trinity being wisdom, knowledge, and instruction, as a drug and alcohol counselor, and you lead a group, whether it be an educational group or a counseling group, there's a process, there is a structure, there's a process to just about everything that you do. In every career, there's a process in your life that you must go. And there's a process. There's an there's a book called The Art of War. There is a true war. War is about strategy. That's why when you talk to some people and they play chess, they say that this kind of helps you to think through subjects. When you look at when you read or watch a movie, there was a process that went into that, so that it would not give away the whole story, you know, in the beginning. There's some people that do reviews of books and reviews of movies, and one of their, they have disdain for is when the book gives it away in the beginning, or you have spoiler alerts, you know, when movies come out and people go ahead and give the whole story and not allow the process to happen. Well, there's a process to war. There's an art to war. There's a strategy. And if there is a strategy in worldly things and natural things, then quite naturally there's a war spiritually. It says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. And I wanted to read that, but I wanted to read about the war that we are fighting when we are going about our lives. And it says, the armor of God, verse 10, Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Schemes, you know, if you look that up, if there's a definition to that, but schemes, strategies, and he devises a scheme, which means there's a plan that is in place against you. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Originally, in the beginning when I first started in the field of drug and alcohol, I didn't know what I was facing. All I knew was, here I am, a young person, psychology major, learned about people's minds and wanted to delve a little further and had to be on my own personal experiences with drinking, using marijuana, and unfortunately, so cocaine as well, and realizing the effect that it had on me physically, mentally, emotionally, and even spiritually. Unfortunately, some of my shortcomings was just believing that I was pretty much invincible, to do those things, and do those things well, had tolerance, and did have some times when, you know, you would get sick and things like that. Would never let anybody drive and didn't really have any incidents as far as driving at that time and things like that. So pretty much thought that I could do anything and consume anything and be okay. My experience with the drugs, cocaine, was not as favorable, not being able to move and not being able to feel safe and things like that. It was more important for me to feel safe than it was for me to feel out of it. And so I didn't stay with that. And I imagine that anybody that drinks or uses, there is a rationale, and I have a good understanding. So here I am with these experiences. And then but it was more important for me to let people know that you don't have to stay in a certain situation, then you can't come out. But it was a struggle for some, and it was a struggle for myself, but I was able to overcome, and I believe that my ability to overcome can be translated into helping others. So if they go into the fields and work with other individuals trying to help other young people like myself, children of alcoholics, children of addicts, to have those same acknowledgments that they were fully capable of not encountering any kind of harm or any danger, but they could be successful regardless of their family background. And so here is my rationale for entering into the field of drugs and alcohol. But it quickly became really frustrating because you had individuals who did not want to get clean and sober, stay clean and sober, because I kept seeing them over and over and over again, negating the fact that my father, he ultimately quit drinking, but I was out of the household when he did that. And I did tend to see him when I would come home, and he wouldn't be under the influence. You know, however, he still had behaviors that I didn't understand that I deemed selfish. He didn't want to share his candy. I know that sounds kind of trivial and irrelevant, but I didn't realize that once you stop drinking, the sugar need is still there. And he would have candy, and when I would eat, like I would sneak pieces of his candy, he would get very, very upset. I didn't understand why, but I understand now that I was almost like I was stealing his drug or stealing his use, whatever. So here I am in the field of substance abuse, and I'm trying to figure out how come that even after the drinking is removed, the behavior still remains. And so it says, if you want wisdom, ask God. So I ask God, please show me what it is that I'm seeing. And thank God for my experiences with individuals, Pentecostals, per se. They speak about spirit. When you're raised Baptist, you know that there's a God, and you know that there's the Jesus, and you know that there's a Holy Spirit, but you have no idea what the manifestation of that is, what the application of that is, don't even know about speaking in tongues or any of that you see in Acts. And so thank God for the Pentecostals, because they showed me that there were strongholds. They showed me the strategies and the schemes of the devil and how they are enacted in individuals' life, and they showed me that through the casting out of them. And I had never really read or understood what that meant until I had that encounter. So thank God for me asking and being shown that there were 16 different strongholds. And so that was good for me to know that. Also, he showed me some scriptures, can't really cite them, but they said that there were legions of angels. So at one point in time in my studies, I began to read about the names of various angels. And so, and then as I was reading about these names of various angels, they had characteristics and personalities. And how do we know? There are some mention of angels when you are Baptist. Michael's one of them. Gabriel's one of them. And I forget the third one. But you do acknowledge, the one that wrestled with Jacob, but you do acknowledge that they had personalities. There was an angel that showed up and cast Adam and Eve out. So you knew that he had weapons. He was like, don't come back in here because you have violated. And so you know that they have weapons. And then there was one that carries messages. And so you know that that's a messenger. And so, you know, there's warring, there's a messenger, and then there's one that just is a protector, just in the general realm. So when you read Ephesians 6, and it tells you that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, it says that, so if our struggle is not against flesh and blood, then that means the people that you're seeing, the things that you're seeing people do, the behaviors and the characteristics, that we are created in God's image, and God, he gives us what those images are, the fruits of the Spirit. So we know we have at least 9 characteristics that are God-given. But we also know that there are 9 of those, then there are 9 opposites. You know, when you're in elementary school, you learn about opposites, hot, cold, rich, poor. You learn about opposites. And so why would that not be the case for the same thing when you're reading about positive and negative, good versus evil? So if there are love, then there's hate. If it's joy, then there's sadness. So there are opposites. If you are patient, you're impatient. So if you're at peace, then you're not at peace. So if there are opposites, then that means that if we are wrestling not against flesh and blood, which are humans, but against rulers, authorities, so against the rulers, the authorities, the powers, and the spiritual forces, the word being put in front of something tells you that is pointing to groups. And so as I asked God to show me the stronghold, he showed me 16 of them. And the way in which he showed me, he said, okay, so Lucifer fell, brought 3 with him, a third of the angels with him. So he's the general. So he's the opposite of God. God, opposite of anti-God. Christ, antichrist. Spirit, anti-spirit. I don't really know if that's a word, but that means that they're countering what we already know. And though there's a legion there. There lies God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and then the Holy Spirit. That goes 1, 2, 3 in that order. So you have the rulers, 1. You have the authorities, 2. You have the powers, 3. And then the forces, 4. So there must be. So we must counter. We must be the 4. In man, so we are the 4th, and then spiritual forces makes the 4th. So it all is equal. So that means that, so I'm asking God, I'm like, okay, so we are at war, and we are at war against these 4 things. So that means there's a general, I always get it mixed up, a captain, a sergeant, and then a private. So as he showed me the 16 strongholds and showed me, so you have Lucifer, then you have the 16 strongholds, and let's just name the 16 of them as 16 generals. And then underneath those, you have sergeants, right? So then underneath that, you have privates. And how do you see the manifestation of that in the world? Well, you have individuals that get mad. I'm kind of angry. Then you have individuals that rage. So, and then you have individuals that get so mad they kill. You know, you can be sad. Okay, so then you're feeling sadness for whatever reason, but then you're feeling depressed. And then you can feel so depressed that you take your own life. You commit suicide. So there lies the levels of that. So it says to therefore put on the full arm of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. And then it goes on to stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled about around your waist. What is the truth? The truth is God is the winner. Okay? He won. The battle is over. It's not ours. It's the Lord's. He won. He won it already. Jesus, he won the battle. It's done. When he died on the cross and he went down, took the keys, and he rose, he won. So that's the truth. And it says, with the breastplate of righteousness. And since he died, got the keys, and rose, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus saves, then there's our righteousness. It says, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So we have a peace in knowing that all of that took place. And it says, in addition to all of this. So we have to know what God created us. We have to know that his son died for us. And we have to know, that's the truth, that the Holy Spirit was left behind for us and bringing and keeping with us those nine fruits of the Spirit. We have to have the breastplate of righteousness. We have to confess our sins. And we have to have the power of peace, which means we're not going to walk into a situation without the peace and knowing that it's already done. It says, in addition, so we're adding something. Take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you can take the shield of faith, and that's to be able to hold it up in front of you and be like, nope, uh-uh. This is the truth. Nope, uh-uh. You know, here's my righteousness. Nope, uh-uh. I'm going to be at peace in knowing all of this, no matter what. And it says, and then taking the helmet, so you cover your head. That's your mind. As a counselor, battlefield of the mind, Joyce Myers. Things that, you know, that transpire in your mind, what you listen to, the music that you listen to. My struggle, again, shortcomings, is with rap music. But the one thing that I noticed about a set of rappers, most of them, they speak with a level of confidence. I don't really know if they are as confident as they speak in their songs, but there is one song, DJ Khaled, and I know I digress from reading the Bible, but his song says, all I do is win, no matter what. And he sings that he has money on his mind, and he never gives up. So he has money on his mind, and he never gives up. So if you... It tells you positive thinking, putting money on your mind, not being worried about anything. And then as a Christian, you can take that and say, you know, that God is the creator and God is the giver and God is the provider. And that knowing, so you can turn around and apply those same truths and saying, okay, well, God, here's my debt. I made some really bad decisions because I made some really bad choices. Okay, so this is the salvation, but save me from those. You know, if I am doing different things, and then using the word of God to combat that, and just using the word of God, which is why back original and as this continues, I was reminded that Trinity Counseling Services, this has been around for 10 years, I want to say 11, but I think that that we really didn't have a group of clients, or I don't really know how my friend is counting, but till 06, but I'm thinking that maybe I licensed the Trinity Counselor Services in 05, and I think probably by December I gave up, and then by March we were approved. I am not sure, but nevertheless, 10 years July or 10 years in March or 11 years is a pretty long time, and I think that it was his goal to remind me that although it has been a struggle, that is an accomplishment because it did not originally start off that way. And let's just finish it before I digress. It says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep praying, keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Paul was writing this to the church of Ephesians and says, pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I declare it fearlessly as I should. I am not by any means Paul. However, I do feel like that I'm Paul when I'm speaking to individuals and I'm speaking to groups and I'm speaking to people because I'm going in and I'm going in with my own shortcomings and I'm going in with my own limitations, but I'm going in and I'm going in with this scripture as part of the foundation because if we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, which is the people that we see, then if we're wrestling against our struggle, if we're struggling, it doesn't even say wrestle in this word, it says struggle. If we're struggling, because it is a struggle clean and sober. But and it was easy to get high. It's easy to find yourself in bad relationships. It's easy to gamble. It's easy to have sex with a lot of people. It's easy to spend money. You can spend money. When you use your cell phone, it's easy to spend money. You can easily not have to be present and available to everybody. You could just be like, listen, I'll call you from my landline phone to be good. And what I'm trying, you wouldn't have to have laws that are changing to make these accommodations. And the world sets you up for the being, you know, the expenses and sets you up for the distractions. You know, but what is all of that for? Well, what all that is for is if individuals realize their divine purpose, and I say when individuals realize their created purpose, whatever that is, because everyone was created for a purpose. Once you realize what that purpose is, then and realize that long time ago, the devil lost. He lost. Once you realize that he lost, that there's no fight, technically there's really no fight. You don't even have to step inside of the ring. The fight is already over. Once you believe that, then guess what? Your time won't be spent worrying about it. Your time will be spent more wisely. You'll spend your 168 hours a week in doing what thus says the Lord. You won't be concerned about all of this other stuff that's happening. But if you stay fixated on what your lack, stay fixated on what you don't have, or who's not in your life, or what the next person is doing, or doing that new thing, or you know, being flighty, or any of those things, you'll quickly fall. I'm in my mind and praying in the spirit on all occasions. The spirit speaks intercession. You know, my heart is a little torn, so much because my own life, some of my peers, some of my friends' lives, and them individuals I don't even know, that this battle has consumed lives and consumes lives nearly daily. You know, you cannot pick up the news. You cannot be on the phone and not hear about how the enemy has tricked yet another set of individuals, tricking people, you know, out of their money, tricking people to believe that they're doing the right thing, you know, so says the word of God, when the word of God does say, you know, you spare the rod and you spoil the child, but you don't beat them to death. You know, the word of God, you know, does say in the last days people will be lovers of themselves, and what they will do is that they will, you know, but fathers against mothers and fathers against sons and mothers against daughters. And that's a real thing, but, you know, it's because of resentment. You know, the word of God says forgiveness. If you got a resentment, it says that, you know, operate in forgiveness or just walk in peace. It tells you in the putting on, you know, walking into peace. Yes, people will hurt you. You know, people will wrong you. Wrong things will happen to you. And you have done wrong things, but, you know, God is love. And if anything is telling you that you are that you're an unloved and unworthy, any un or not or ill or ear, all of those are negative connotations, you know, for irresistible or irrelevant. But anyway, see, there's two different terms for that. But if something is telling you that, you know what, it would be better for you to leave this earth instead of staying, how are you going to fulfill your purpose? And how, so now, individuals that you leave behind, you've got to look, will always be wandering around with a lack. It can be filled by God. It can be filled by doing that Jesus saves, and it can be filled by the Holy Spirit. But so we pray to go out into these families where these things have happened, people taking their lives for things that you may have gone through. When you go through a divorce feeling like nobody wants you, you're feeling lonely or unloved, God loves you, and your friends love you, And if you got children, your children love you, and that should be, you know, God's love should be enough. But if you don't know that in your heart, and if you don't know, then guess what? There goes yet another scheme. And if you succumb to that, then there again, the devil wins. And he didn't win. And he's counting wins when you turn away from knowing that God won already. And that's just in addiction. When you and it was good. We were listening to Joyce Myers on yesterday, and she said that, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit was self-control, controlling yourself and saying, God, I don't have any self-control. When I find myself in situations, I overreact. When you find yourself in a situation, you go, but if you commit an act that is done out of overreacting, then you will find yourself at a loss. And you might not be able to reverse it, specifically if you take your own life. You might not be able to allow God to come into your life if you are taking your life. He doesn't even have an opportunity to do that. You know, if the gun jammed or if it seemed like it just didn't work, then there he was. He was right there. And if you go on through it and say, well, now I need to try again or try harder, then you're not even giving God an opportunity. And unfortunately, that's probably the end of it all. I don't know. Never been on that side. Pray to God that, you know, maybe when you get on the other side, you can make your appeal. And I don't know what God would say, you know, but preferably God would want all of his own to come to him. But if you turn your back on him, he can't force you to do anything. So right now, we just want to pray in our last 2 minutes. You know, dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now, speaking your word. We are praying in the Spirit on this occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. Our request right now, God, is that you will allow us to have gratitude for our situations, whether it be good or bad. We just pray right now, God, we just want to be alert right now, God, and just know that there's a lot of things that the devil is continually evoking his schemes against us. And, God, we just pray right now that you open our eyes and just give us wisdom, give us knowledge, and give us the ability and the instruction in order to be able to stand. Dear Heavenly Father, we're standing on your word right now, that you help us put on the full armor of God, because we know that the day of evil will come. But we just pray right now, God, that you just on the ground that we're standing on, God, that it doesn't have any cracks in it, God, that we just pray right now that you strengthen us in the ground that we stand. Dear God, as we stand, God, we want you to help us to stand firm, God. We want to help us to know the truth, God. It says the belt of truth buckled about our waist, God. We just pray right now that you do that for us, God. We just pray that you help us to put on the breastplate of righteousness, God, and just let us know that you did send your son in order to die for the sins, God. We just pray right now, God, that you will take our feet, God, fit it with the readiness, God, that comes from the gospel of peace, God. We pray that peace all around us, God, peace in our home, peace in our family, peace in our jobs, God, peace in our hearts. And, God, we just pray right now that you is the shield of faith, God, that you help us to become more faithful, God, that we are capable of extinguishing all the flaming arrows of the evil one, God. And we just pray right now, finally, God, that you help us to put on the helmet of salvation, God, and then allow us to continue to say in your word, God, which is the word that we say in the word of God, which is the sword, God, in order to be able to fight, God. And we just pray right now, anyone under the sound of our voice, God, that we are capable to bring this word to them, God, and just continue to give us a purpose in our lives, the wisdom, the knowledge, and the instruction, God, the education, the enrichment, and enlightenment, God. Just continue to educate us, God. Let us know that we do have value, God, to fulfill your purpose, God, and that we'll be able to tell the story of how you have acted in our life, God. And we just pray all these things in Jesus' name. Have a blessed day.